Welcome to the LeaderQuest podcast. I am Justin, and this is
Elise.
And today we are talking changing seasons. So really what brought this about was this kind of realization. I think we were sitting in the backyard the other day, and we have this really tall, a maple tree in the backyard. Mm-hmm. And at the very top of the tree are some leaves that are starting to change color. Mm-hmm. And it just, like, it kind of comes out of nowhere, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
It's still August, and you don't kind of think that. I would not typically associate the changing of seasons with August when it's still, I mean, particularly here in California, mm-hmm. hot. We've had 100-degree temperatures all week.
Yeah.
So it was this, I mean, almost this realization that, like, boy, sometimes changing seasons in nature sneaks up on you, right? You wake up and all of a sudden trees that didn't have color before have color, or trees that were bare have buds on them or whatever.
Yeah.
And just how much more so true is that of life?
Well, it's funny you say that because my mom noticed a couple weeks ago, I had no clue, like, that the summer had actually progressed at all. And so I was like, it's probably still June. It was August. And she was like,
this year's gone fast.
Look at the leaves are falling. I'm like, that's a weird thing to say. Like, why?
Yeah.
Okay. So I was not aware.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It caught me off guard.
It's happening. Of course, when we used to live in Denver, September is the time you head up into the high mountains to go see changing leaves. And, you know, by October you got leaves in full color and you're watching elk bugle and everything. So it happens quick. And mm-hmm. my gosh, we are less than 24 hours away from September.
Yeah.
And it feels like just a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about setting some New Year's resolutions. We've got to set some new ones now.
How are those all going?
Yeah.
For
yeah. Okay. So changing seasons and the irony that it just sometimes kind of sneaks up on you in the midst of life, when you can pull away from the daily grind, you step back and see that leaves are changing. But that happens in life all the time too, right? I mean, how many times do you look up and, oh my goodness, another school year is starting, right? Our kids are back in school. I'm sure most people, if you have kids, you're back in school.
Holly's back in school. She's going.
Holly's back in school.
Back again. Holly's back.
I have two clients that are teachers, and both of them already have had to, like, write up kids and send notes home to parents and have, like, parent-teacher conferences less than a week into school. Can you make it 3 for 3?
We will wait. We'll wait.
We'll wait. Yeah. Everybody, if you're watching this live, we're going to wait on Holly to answer. If you're watching the playback on the podcast or on iTunes, you just get to sit here and listen to some awkward silence while Holly chooses to interact.
Did she go away? I don't know.
Okay, so changing seasons, right? Like, how do we navigate changing seasons? Because you can look up and, I mean, we were talking about this on our walk the other night. Like, we don't want to look up and all of a sudden, oh boy, our kids are gone. Wait, who's this person sitting next to me at the dinner table, right? Like, we are already very intentional, and I think even still trying to improve mm-hmm. our intentionality in improving our relationship, because as seasons of life change and kids get busier, we'll have our first in middle school next year, and she's going through her own changes in friendship, social groups, and, you know, the weird things that girls do.
Well, what did you say that statistic the other day, that you're 13 and a marriage is what?
Yeah, well, it's certainly one of those trouble spots. Like, if you just kind of look at some of the research, there are times when marriage is typically struggling. It's typically, you know, like, you're 3 to 5 when you start having a conversation about kids, and years like 13 to 15 when you stop having kids, and years 20 to 25 when kids leave the house, you know, like, whenever you start that process, mm-hmm. almost universally coincides with an increased risk of divorce. Mm-hmm. Change happens, relationship happens, job change happens. Maybe it was expected, mm-hmm. and even if it's good, right? Hey, I wanted this promotion. Even if that's exactly what I wanted, mm-hmm. it's still going to bring a change.
Okay, so let's.
And how much more so if it's bad? Oh, and I lost my job. I got laid off. And like, changing happens.
Especially these kind of, like, big career shifts. after you've been working a job for what you thought would be the rest of your life? I mean, have you talked to coached a lot of people that just, they're like, I want to make this big risk, or like they got fired and like, they just don't want to do that anymore. And so they need to find a completely different career. How do they,
Yeah,
do you see it a lot of that?
Yeah, I don't know that I've said, I don't know that I've coached a lot of people where we were intentionally trying to change jobs. I can think of one where we were intentionally trying to start a job, helping her get her business going. And I can think of one that in the midst of the coaching process, the job change became the thing that became evident. So he didn't actually hire me for kind of what we might broadly call like career coaching at all.
Right.
He actually hired me for something completely different. And then we realized, oh, it's got to be the job. Like that's the piece that's frustrating us. Other people have asked for clarity. Hey, can you help me make sure I'm on the right path? Like, I was working with one guy who was, a computer analyst, if I remember right. And he was like, you know, my job's not great, but man, the pay's really well. I think I want to find a different job, but I'm not sure. And so I was more just like the sounding board. And ultimately we realized you're right where you want to be. Mm-hmm. There were, again, the job was fine. There were other pieces. For him, it was a drive. It ended up being like almost a 90-minute commute each way. And so he's like, I love the job, I love the benefits, but I don't want to move. You know, so I mean, like, well, then you got to quit or you got to move. You're like, we started wading through those options. And what we realized is finally he just went to his employers and said, this is what I'm doing. Can I think he was doing like government space contract work or something. He's like, can I set up whatever? Yeah, I don't get it. Can I set this up at home? And instead of coming in 5 days, we come in like 2 days a week and work remotely from home the rest of the time. And they're like, oh yeah, we think that's great.
Huh.
Okay, he can make that drive 2 days a week.
Right.
And the other three, he got to stay home, and he was around for his kid and whatever the circumstances were going on there and the extracurriculars and all that stuff, whereas before he was missing it.
That's really sweet.
I think if I remember, our calls were at like 6 a.m. because he was on the road by then, and so we'd go to while he was driving to work, you know, like.
Like a live podcast.
Yeah.
Just for you.
So it was an interesting time. So I don't know that I've ever had somebody come to me and say, I know I have to change careers. Help me figure out what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But we spend so much time at our jobs that it's always a critical component of who we are. And I think that's true in any facet of life, right? I mean, think of you and your friends and your social group who are predominantly, though not exclusively, stay-at-home moms, at least for this season of life. Many of them were career women. Or maybe taking a little bit of a break and exploring how to go back.
Mm-hmm.
But that change happens, right? Oh, I always wanted to work in my career, and then we ended up having kids, and I realized when my kids are this young, I don't want to have a career. And someday I will again, because I know I'm not made to stay at home forever. But, you know, like they're walking those changing seasons. And even if everything is good, that changing season still affects everything. So I think we'd be prudent to pay attention and take inventory of our lives. Or what do we think some of the areas of potential change are, and how do we almost safeguard against that? You know, like if I know that I'm going to be whatever attacked from my left, I might turn and face to the left side.
Yeah.
Watching football this morning, they're all schematics, and if you think this guy's coming from over here, you shift somebody to help block him. Life works a lot the same way.
Well, in what way do we want to be looking? Like, do we want to be watching out, or just being more aware of
what's
going on?
Yeah. So, no, I think that's a great question. One of the tools that I use with my clients, we call it the Wheel of Life, and it's an assessment. It's got, I think, eight areas on it, six areas maybe. But it's a giant circle on a page, and there are, inside like this wagon spoke, you can write the six, seven, eight significant areas to you. Work, family, hobbies, mm-hmm. friends, whatever, my relationship with God, my finances, like whatever your six significant areas are, kind of come out from like the center is you, and then there are these wagon wheels that come out, and you write in on those wagon wheels what those areas are, and then we kind of take an assessment, and when you draw when you finish the outside circle of your wagon wheel, you actually connect it via numbers. So maybe my family life is an 8, and I'm really happy there because it's an 8 out of 10, but my careers are 2. Well, all of a sudden, when you complete this circle, almost like you connect the dot, you see you've got a very jagged wagon wheel. Well, no wonder your life is so bumpy, right? And so we kind of take assessment of that in one of the very first coaching sessions, but then we also circle around usually 2 to 3 months later and say, how's your wheel now? And inevitably, we could say, look, it's certainly not perfectly round, but it's certainly smooth. My career has gone from a 2 to a 5, maybe because I changed jobs or because I was able to work remotely or because I got a raise or, you know, like, so I think you need to step back and say, what are some of the big significant areas to me in my life? And overall, what is my level of satisfaction there? Because that gives me a clue on how to help as a coach.
Well, and certainly I think that needs to be something done almost every like 6 months. Like you're talking about a full focus planner. And I don't know if I'm quite there yet. But to be done frequently.
Yes.
You know?
Absolutely. Yeah, I have quarterly retreats. Well, maybe now a retreat is a bit zealous. I take a half a day every quarter.
I hide in the car.
Yeah. I take a half a day every quarter and set out, what were my goals this last quarter? What did I accomplish? What worked? What didn't? What do I want to accomplish this next quarter? Ultimately, though, I mean, honestly, I think retreat is the right word for where I envision this going. Right now, it's a half a day whenever I can sneak it in, but that's just kind of our phase of life. Mm-hmm. Eventually, I want it to be probably a one-day retreat somewhere where I'm harder to get a hold of. You know, I'll have an emergency burner phone on me that you can have access to. And outside of that, I've shut everything down. Mm-hmm. And for once a year, I'm getting away for 2 to 3 days and saying, it's the start of a new year. Mm-hmm. Where are we going?
You know what's interesting? I was just trying to kind of grasp this whole thing and it made me think about our son. And I love seeing kind of the phases they go through and kind of trying to remember what I did and those kind of phases. Because mm-hmm. I remember, and so he said the other day, he said, I feel like things are different right now. And like, we're living in the same home.
Yeah.
He's going to the same school.
Yeah.
You know, like, no deaths in the family. Like, so mostly things have stayed the same.
Right.
But I could totally, I mean, I resonated with his response of things are feeling different right now.
Yeah.
I felt that.
Yeah.
You know, I liked that he had enough kind of self-awareness. I
think that's
wonderful.
Right. I didn't know that. That's different. Great.
Yeah, that's good to acknowledge there, bud, you know?
And he may not have the language to articulate what is different, but the fact that he can sense that, I think, is amazing.
And also, like, the next couple nights after that, he would kind of, like, cry about it. And it wasn't, like, a whine. It was just, like, almost like a mourning, or was it maybe he was scared of things changing? And, again, nothing was really on, and, like, you want to compound that with things that actually do change. Like a death in the family or moving or, you know, things that you really do have to be emotionally aware of. I thought that was just like, maybe we should, I don't know. That's just an interesting way to think about it.
Yeah, no, I didn't know that had happened. And that's probably as much me being gone all the time as anything. But hearing that, I'm almost like, what an appropriate response, right? Like, to be able to notice things are changing and mourning and crying over it is okay, you know? Like, we don't want to stay there, but I think it's a healthy emotional response to be able to say, man, things are just different and I need to, like, process that for a second, and then I can adjust to the new normal. And that works for all areas of life, right? You're going through a divorce. You would be foolhardy, I think, to say, unless you were just like over it, I could maybe imagine some scenarios. But the average person, I think, going through a divorce, at least one of the people in the party, is going to have to say, oh, this is not what I wanted. I thought things were going well. I thought we were on track. I thought we were going to spend the rest of our lives together. Hold on, life. I just need to sit down and mourn a second. Mm-hmm. And that can, I think, be the frustrating and overwhelming thing about life. Mm-hmm. Life doesn't say, okay, great, I'll hold on. Like, typically something changes, and then you start to notice all of the other change. Like, all of a sudden, you know, it's like if you're looking for a new car and you're like, oh, I think I want a white Honda Accord. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, you start to see white Honda Accords everywhere, right? And once you get on your radar, something in your life has changed. Mm-hmm. You start to notice all of the other things that are changing as well. Oh, man. Speaking of which, I noticed my pants are a bit tighter. Maybe I should go to the gym some more. Mm-hmm. I do notice how old I'm looking. Maybe I should get some more sleep. Oh, you know, like all of a sudden, once you are thrust into a big life change event, you typically end up noticing all sorts of other areas that have been changing without you noticing. And that's really the benefit of, I mean, I'll plug myself, but I'm certainly not the one that does this. That's the benefit of a coaching type relationship, or at the very least, I mean, I didn't have a coach for a long time, but I was very intentional on having mentors in undergrad and masters, and was regularly in touch with my doctoral professors about, like, hey, these are just the things I'm facing. Can you give me a sounding board, right? Like, once you start to become aware of the changes that are happening, to be able to have that sounding board, whether it's a coach or mentor or a really good friend who won't, you know, coddle you too much, that just allows you to, like, okay, here's a safe space. Let's go ahead and process this. Mm-hmm. Can be very necessary in those times.
Yeah, certainly, like, verbally or some kind of, like, an output of, like, writing it down. I don't write things down. Write things down. We were talking about failure the other day. Like, I as a mom, I fail every single day. But you know what helps is not writing it down. Because right. I'm like, I don't have it on paper that I'm constantly failing. Yeah. But when I took those tests, I've been trying to work on some teaching stuff, and I had to get a certification. Certification. And I failed a lot, and it was on paper, and it was in front of me. And
Well, but that's not true. You failed when it wasn't on paper, right? Like, when it was purely digital, that's when you failed. As soon as we printed it out and you took notes, you passed the first time.
No, actually, I took it three more
times. Oh, you took it three more times? Oh, see, I didn't even know that.
Seventh time's the charm.
Seventh time's the charm. Well, there you go.
But it did help. It did help because it made me see it. Actually, you're right. Because it actually made me see that there was something wrong that I was missing.
Right.
They have all these articles, and they're talking about something else that I don't even have a paper for.
Yeah, right. So. Well, and I think that's one of the strategies that we need to talk about if we want to talk about changing seasons. These are the things we're gonna unpack over the week that we discuss this topic. The importance of just writing things down. I mean, the research that is out there about how much our brains prefer pen and paper over digital. There's a reason. Like, I can go to a book that I maybe read a decade ago, and, like, I vaguely remember this quote, and it was roughly halfway through the book, and it was, like, on the top right third of the page. And sure enough, I can flip to roughly the same chapter that I think would have occurred, and I can skim the top third, and eventually I find it. Like, there's something – I can't do that when I read a Kindle book. Mm-hmm. If I'm like, oh, Elise, let's get together next Thursday, and I don't write it down, I will totally blow off that appointment.
Yeah.
Even in some instances, if it's in my phone, which is why, like, if I put it in my phone, I also put an alarm on it.
Yeah, right.
But I am very intentional about writing all of my appointments down. And any appointment that I have written down, I have never once forgotten. Like, there's just overwhelming research about the importance of writing things down to help our brains remember. Well, take that out of specifically a scheduling context and just talk about life. That's what people do so well when they journal. And I think that's one of the tips that we need to talk about today. Whether you want to do it daily or weekly or just sporadically or once a month, like, find that rhythm and just say, I need to go journal this, because all of a sudden you can look back and say, I've got 5 years of journals piling up. Oh my goodness, look at all the things that I have done these last 5 years. Mm-hmm. That's incredible. Oh, I totally forgot about that. I mean, one of my family habits growing up was Christmas morning, before we could open presents, we would each write each other a letter. So, like, I would write one to my dad, to my mom, to my brother, and to my sister. And what we'd do is we'd pick somebody. Okay, we're gonna read mom's letters. And we would all go around and read our letters that we wrote to mom about. This is what happened in your life this year. These are the things I see in you. This is what I think God is up to. This is a funny memory we had. And then once everybody was done reading their letters, that person, you know, mom in this example, could then open her Christmas presents. Well, inevitably, those were entirely happy memories. I don't think I ever once wrote a letter. It was like, I'm going to tell you all the times you messed up, right? And I never received a letter like that. What happened was, hey, I remember this growth point that happened. I remember you started this new grade, or I remember you finished this book, or you won this award, or you changed to this job. And, like, we would all just end up, like, I mean, like, open air, weeping and gnashing of teeth, even over completely happy memories, because all of a sudden you're like, oh my gosh, look at everything that's happened in my life this last year.
Yeah.
You know, and so there's power to the written word, and there's power to having somebody speak into your life, right? And those are the two points we've made, whether it's that coach or that mentor. There's something about having that relationship where somebody can speak into the power of your life. And there's something about writing things down to help our brain capture it that allows us to navigate those seasons of change and say, hey, look at everything that I survived this year. Chances are good, I'm going to survive this next thing as well.
Mm. So it really gives you perspective. And oh, yeah. To check in with yourself. And
yeah. One of my doctoral classes, actually the class on coaching and leadership health, one of the activities we had to do every day it was a acronym that the coach walked us through, and it was called the sachet, SASHET.
Sachet.
Yeah. What makes you scared? What makes you angry? What's making you happy? SASH. What's making you excited, and what's making you tired? And so, like, every morning,
the tea is silent.
We would just walk into that class, and it's like, okay, everybody, sachet, and you'd have to say, one of the things I'm scared about is getting this paper done. Mm. One of the things that makes me angry is this person said this nasty thing online. Mm. One thing, like, and all of a sudden, you look around this room of eight of us, and we're like, we're all going through it together.
Yeah.
And none of us would have known that had we not intentionally had somebody who said, stop a second, check in with me. Where are you at? Yeah. And so maybe we'll talk about that on the blog. I haven't quite finalized what we're doing on the blog. Cause I was leaning towards the writing and journaling piece. But now that that has come out, I think that needs to be a critical part of it.
The
acknowledgement of just, and emotionally where you're at. Right. I mean, I've referred to it before. It's almost like your emotions are like a piano, and you need to have really great piano players have a really wide range of notes that they can play, right? I max out at Chopsticks and Joy to the World in the key of C because it is all on the white keys. That's the extent of my piano playing skills. If that's the extent of my emotional range, I'm going to be severely stunted and hurt a lot of people. Right? And then you turn around and you listen to people who are professional piano players, and they're both ends, you know, they've almost got like a third hand. They're playing so fast and playing so many notes and playing so many chords that, you know, their knuckles bend in nine different ways.
These are really funny. Okay.
Yes. That's what, I mean, and back to our son, that's why I like that emotion response, for him to be able to acknowledge something is changing and then say, I just need to cry a second. Like, I'm okay. Everything's fine. Just let me mourn a second. Like, That's emotional range on the piano.
I like that.
And if all I can do is keep hitting the angry key or the bitter key, or let's be honest, the happy key, if all I can ever hit is the happy key, that's a really limited range of who God has created me to be, to experience in this world, because I'm not happy all the time. And to pretend and to assume that is foolhardy.
Like Unikitty on the Lego movie.
Yes. Yeah.
She's just really happy.
Yeah. I was a chaplain, I remember working with a guy, and every day I'd stop by his room. How are you doing today? Oh, I'm so happy. Oh, I'm so, like, he never had anything but so happy. Now, part of his situation may have been his Alzheimer's and dementia that he was suffering from. So good for him to get stuck in that spot and not a different one. But in a healthy individual, if you're trying to convince me that you're just happy every single day, we got some issues. Mm-hmm. And even, you know, I can think of one guy we talk about who we try to emulate, Frank. When I grew up, I want to be like Frank. Because Frank had some stuff going off in life. And yet if you asked him, he'd always say, I'm blessed. Which I think is entirely different than happy, right? Because he's intentionally choosing. His acknowledgement is, there is crap going on around me. Mm-hmm. And yet I can focus on all of the good things that I have, right? He was expanding that emotional keyboard.
Yeah.
And I think being able to navigate changing seasons is to be able to say, what are the keys? What's the tune I need to play now? Sometimes it is lament, right? I'll throw in some Enneagram here. Sometimes you need to contact your buddy who's a four, who's sad all the time, and let them mourn with you. And sometimes you need to call the sixes, who can look at all the negative things in life and help you navigate the potential dangers of this change. And sometimes you need to call your friend who's the seven, who wants you to get out there and skydive because you only live once, and go do something. You know, like, that's the beauty of humanity, is we can call on these different friends we have in our lives and say, friend, I need you to help me expand my emotional keyboard a little bit. Mm-hmm. Come help me play a song. Yeah. Right? I need to duet for a little bit and not do this solo.
Oh, well, yeah, and certainly he had hope when he when he said it, because he would say, you could tell, of course, his inflection in his voice. Mm-hmm. And he had a loved one.
There's someone at the door.
I know. He had someone pass away that you love so much.
Yeah.
And he was blessed. Like, he's blessed. And he was also acknowledging what was going on.
Right, right. It wasn't a denial of the circumstances around him.
It was hope.
Yes.
It was hope in the midst.
That it won't always be like this. Which, what a great way. I mean, I think that's probably the perfect way to wrap this podcast up, right? It is hope in the midst of change that everything will work out in the end. That, I mean, almost like, who was it? Paul was writing that he who began a good work on you will see it through to completion, right? Frank was able to acknowledge, I'm going through it right now, and yet this isn't the end of my story. This isn't the end of redemption in my life. You want to handle changing negative seasons, let's acknowledge that we might need a friend or a mentor or a coach. Let's practice writing things down to remember where we've come from. Mm-hmm. Let's emotionally check in and expand our keyboard. And let's acknowledge that whatever this change is, it's not the end of the story.
No.
There is something on the other side of this. Whether you want to talk about unemployment, whether you want to talk about losing a friend or a spouse or a significant relationship, whether ultimately you want to talk about death, there is something on the other side of it. And so our ability to navigate changing seasons is an ability for us to kind of recapture those 4 points and end with, and this is not the end of the story. What you got for closing? Are you got any words there? Or are we good?
Well, I'm usually pretty
chatty. Ben Ashley joined us.
I'm usually pretty chatty, but you put the death card out there, and that makes me very like. No, not like that. It was more.
Is he crying because he can't find pants?
Yes. Yeah.
Welcome to the live stream, everybody, where we cry over pants.
Well, that was my bad.
Okay, so all right, so let's wrap it up. So our 4 points today, if you're just hopping on, I'm gonna catch this. Our first point was that you might need somebody in a changing season to help you navigate, a friend, a coach, a mentor. Second point, write things down. Journaling is an important process to let you know where you have come from and to be able to recall.
Can I write on a sticky note?
If you can keep track of those, but I think the danger is you're going to be cleaning the house and see, oh, here's a piece of paper on the floor and throw it away, right? Like,
that is true.
It's not insurmountable, but certainly a journal that always sits by your nightstand or you know, by your reading chair or whatever is going to stick with you more.
Okay, give me something concrete. I don't journal.
Okay.
I don't journal, but I am becoming convinced the more we talk that maybe I should have some kind of structural, let's not call it journaling, because I think of like,
okay,
your diary.
Yeah, okay.
I don't want to
okay
do your diary.
All right.
I've got better things to do with my life.
Yes,
but
okay.
Tell me, I open up a book, I get a notebook, I use that $1 journal that I just bought from the dollar store.
Yeah, yeah.
Where do I start? Give me like 5 things to write down to help guide my changing of season.
Well, okay. So I think, You want the bare simple? I'll put it on the blog on Monday. I'll shift the blog topic to Monday.
Don't make me wait. Tell me right now.
I won't. But you want the simple journaling tactic?
Yes.
Let's make it that sachet. What is making you scared, angry, sad, happy, excited? Oh, it was timid. Like, what's making you? I think I said tired. It's timid. What's making you like a little apprehensive?
I like your emotion for it. Making you timid.
How many chins can I get when I do that?
What's making you timid?
so you want a bare bones, simple, intentional reflection, if we don't want to call it a journal. Mm-hmm. Here's how you make an intentional reflection. Sit down at the end of the day and say, what happened today that made me scared, angry, sad, happy, excited, and timid? Mm-hmm. You collect 365 of those, and you're going to see the growth that happened over the course of a year. And that could literally be, I mean, that's 6 sentences. It's going to take you 3 to 5 minutes to write and reflect on, right? 10 if you're super sappy.
Okay.
But there's your habit to build. Get a friend, expand your emotional range, Intentional reflection.
Intentional reflection.
And then know, this is how we'll wrap it up. Know that this is not the end of your story. Whatever change you are facing right now, you have quite literally made it through every change and every obstacle and every failure that you have had in life up to this point. So whatever it is that you're facing right now, know that you are not going to end with that one. This is not the end of your story. And if you need help, if you need support, Elise and I would love to provide that for you. We are here. Go ahead and reach out to us. And we would love to walk with you through whatever change you have.
Absolutely.
I'm Justin.
And I'm Elise.
This has been the LeaderQuest Podcast, Episode 7. Whoppa.
Thank you for not smacking me. Yours hurt so badly, especially on game day.
With that, we are out. Thank you for joining us. We will see you. The only thing I post on Sundays is the My Three Words on Instagram, my three guiding words for the week. Monday is the blog. We're going to talk how to sashay better, how to journal and reflect. Tuesday.
We'll wear our cowboy boots. Learn how to sashay.
Tuesday again is on Instagram. Wednesday is YouTube. And Thursday is the podcast. If you want an audio version of this to listen to in the car, because there's nothing better than spending 33 minutes of my voice. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye. Thank you for joining us on this episode of the LeaderQuest Podcast as a part of the Next Steps coaching community. To find out more, to receive a free 5-day e-course, and find out about upcoming private and group coaching opportunities, please visit justinhebert.com.